Hi, and welcome to another video in our user guest series focused on the topic of RMA, Rev Marketing Automation. Today we're joined by Eric Munoz from UserGuest and Anne-Marie Gubanski from Tacticon. Hotels rely on tech tools to run day-to-day operations, and we've seen a growing tendency to automate many tasks. Today we look specifically at how automation around the hotel website can help drive dynamic content and personalized messaging, leading to increased booking conversion and ultimately higher revenues and lower OTA commission. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Let's get started.
Hey, Anne-Marie. Hey, Eric. Thanks for joining us today. We're doing another follow-up to the user guest series of videos that we're doing about Rev Marketing Automation. And today we're going to be focusing on the A piece of Rev Marketing Automation, which is obviously automation. But before we get started, probably be useful if I could ask each of you just to introduce yourself very briefly for those who are watching and listening, and then we'll kick into the topic. So Anne-Marie, if I can pass over to you first, that would be great.
Okay, well, my name is Anne-Marie Gubanski, Dutch, but I live in Stockholm right now. And I am the founder of, I think, many things. One of them is a Revin Forum, which is like seminars, webinars, and events in many cities in Europe. The other thing is the Tacticon, which is a revenue management consultancy company, which does basically anything that has to do with revenue management and distribution. And we are founding also a soft brand called Tacticon Hotels. We do that together with SHR and Windsurfer.
Ah, okay. Excellent. Yeah. Very good. Thank you. And Eric, over to you, please.
Yes, good morning. I'm Australian, now living in the UK for almost 10 years. And I'm a hotelier originally, and then a hotel tech specialist for probably more years than I wish to share right now. But my primary hotel tech experience is in revenue management technology, property management systems, online distribution, including booking engines. So it makes the topic of rev marketing automation particularly interesting for me, because we're combining the worlds of hotel PMS, online distribution, digital marketing, and revenue management, which, if you're not a hotelier, is super boring at a dinner party. But fortunately today, I'm with peers who industry colleagues who share a common interest.
Yes. So hopefully not too boring today. Perfect. Well, let's get this going. So as I mentioned, the focus today is on the A in the Rev Marketing Automation. So, first question, there are different types and levels of automation, whether we're looking at a PMS, CMS, RMS, CRS, CRM, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. But what does, narrowing it down to our point, what does automation look like for a hotel website specifically?
So, the vast majority, not all hotels, but the very, very vast majority of properties will have a website and a booking engine at a minimum, right? Now, whether that booking engine is integrated to the PMS system, that's yes or no, depending, but that's one level of automation between the hotel's PMS system, the booking engine on the website, and let's say many hotels have that degree of automation. So now it's a natural progression that hotels will look at, okay, we have marketing strategy. We have marketing, let's say, assets. Like, we want to influence the guests to book with us and not necessarily come to our website, see nothing interesting, or everything is static, but they would like a personalized experience. They want, actually, what's the deal? What's the benefit? What's in it for me as the potential guest if I book here on your website versus my preferred OTA? So the automation element on the website is really turning your hotel website into personalized dynamic content based on the visitor, because I think we will all agree, somebody visiting the website who also lives in the same country will have a different booking window. Let's say the hotel is somewhere in Europe, but now you have somebody from New Zealand also visiting the website, their booking window, to use an extreme example, is going to be, 3-4 months in advance rather than 7 days in advance. So to put it simply, the automation element on the hotel website is applying intelligent and influential content, personalized content, based on the booking behavior of the guest.
That's right. I think overall, when it comes to tech, yeah, I agree with you, Eric. The hotels, they have like a PMS, a CRS, channel manager, and well, that's it. We would hope that all of these would like work together and talk together, because connectivity for hotels is really, really, really a very big issue. There's a lot of manual labor. So I think really automation should help hotels that are just now trying to give as good a service to their guests. And there's a lot of leisure guests, leisure driven business at the moment, to give that a very, very, very good experience. And I think also to Eric's point, personalization is the buzzword, I think, and the key word of today. Hotels are struggling with that as well. I mean, they have a bit of an issue in finding the right technology. They know that there are players about, know that they want to have like personalized messages. They should have it. Loyalty programs are being adapted to it. But they find it difficult, I think, sometimes to find the right technology. And when they have it, sometimes it's not really talking together.
I think the easiest way for hoteliers to sort of summarize what we're talking about is what would happen in an offline interaction. Mm-hmm. When the guest calls you and asks about what's available, or I'm calling about a booking, or if they're emailing you, like what would happen? And what would happen is you would find out, you know, are you flexible in your dates based on their answer? You'd say, oh, okay, you're flexible. Sometime in the next 3 weeks? Okay, well, knowing that we've got a great deal on these dates, which are in that window, and you have this. Now, why would the hotelier be suggesting that? That's when they actually have really plenty of inventory. Mm-hmm. They have this promotion, but guess what? The promotion is one of 25 different rates in the booking engine, one of 30. I mean, we've all, even on the OTAs, we have like dozens sometimes of different room type rate combinations. And because of course the hotelier thinks that there's lots of different opportunities for different sort of packages, but what's missing in a lot of cases is that the guest who is interested but doesn't have time, are they going to go through all these 20 or 30 different rates, or in an automated sense, or like we had in the example in the conversation, once the hotelier knew a little bit about the guest, oh, you're flexible. Look, let me suggest this particular package. We have it's available right now until the end of the month. You get blah, blah, blah. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
The guest would book it, right? That's how you would handle a standard hotel sale offline. And we're talking about rev marketing automation, applying those same principles about guest looking for value, hotel looking to maximize revenue, and combining the two.
I guess a general question to both of you is that I feel that websites for hotels just haven't moved beyond a digital brochure for the hotel, and they need to be thinking more in terms of like a, just thinking more like e-commerce is the wrong phrase, but it is, you know, you're trying to get somebody into the shop, and then when you get them into the shop, you actually want them to buy something. So you want to make that experience easy to engage with, and then the process of selecting and possibly buying and inquiring and being inquisitive as straightforward as possible. And that's where I would see revenue knowing what we need, marketing knowing how to position it, but then automation to bring those together and get that in front of the potential guests would seem like the most obvious thing to me. But it seems so frustrating when you go to a hotel website. I mean, I'm rambling a bit here, so I'm going to stop and ask you guys a general question. But is it just me that, you know, is that a general frustration?
Yeah. I think, unfortunately, still most of the hotel websites are kind of static. I love that you talk about packages, Eric, because hotels also love packages. They usually have about 10 And all of them are available right now, right there. So pick your choose. And then I don't really know what the difference is between A and B and what they want to tell me. Yeah. And yes, they hardly talk to me. And I think that's also coming back to Eric's point. I think a lot of the guests that visit the website, they come from the OTAs, which might not just like steer them towards you, but maybe to other hotels as well. And then you come to the website, they look at the website because they want to be inspired. They actually want to have a reason for booking it. Mm. And then you come to the boring thing. I don't understand. And talking about which, I mean, hotels, they all talk about the same things, but they sometimes even miss telling where they are. Mm. We are the nicest hotel based in Västergötland. Who knows where that is apart from a Swede? Yeah. So please talk about what it is you do and what makes you special. And yeah, talk to me about my interests, about what I would like to have at your hotel. Totally.
Yeah. And that comes to your point where you were talking about a website being a bit more dynamic, didn't it, Eric?
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've definitely seen an evolution in hotel websites being a lot more visual. And I encourage and implore that. I love big, rich imagery. But guests need more than that because, unfortunately, in many cases, the exact same precise images on your website are on every single OTA. Mm-hmm. I don't know why hotels don't keep the best, highest resolution, most unique aspect and angle for their own website. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. But I think what we're talking about when the guest visits the website is they understand they're there to be persuaded. Mm-hmm. They're there to be influenced. What's the deal? Okay, something over here says 10% less when you book direct. Okay, that's everybody. Every single person gets that. Yeah. When we're talking about rev marketing automation and the personalization element, is the right type of offer, the right type of message or notification based on the booking behavior or the booking, let's say the booking persona of the guest. Mm-hmm. UK visitor versus New Zealand, the classic example I'm always using, right? Yeah. The family of four versus the solo traveler or the, there's so many
variables,
let's say at least,
isn't it?
Yeah. At least five different booking personas, mm-hmm. but every single person usually sees the same data, or sorry, the same content on the website rather than the hotel automatically, appropriately, intelligently personalizing that experience because the same thing's happening in every OTA. You can mm-hmm. be sure that every OTA, especially the Booking Expedia, who spend literally billions to get traffic from Google and other places onto their website. That's not cheap for them. They've got plenty of money, but they actually have to convert a big amount of that sort of traffic, right? So yeah. If we ask the hotelier, in almost every case, the hotelier will say they're not necessarily happy or it could be better, the website traffic versus the conversion. Like, are you happy? Like, is every single person who visits your website booking? It's probably only one in five. Mm-hmm. If the situation was different, like everyone who visits a website is there because they're booking and they book, okay, maybe rev marketing automation would still be 5 years away. But the fact is, I think every hotelier will agree that the bounce rate or whatever terminology you'd like to use, people who visit the website and actually book is unfortunately a really small percentage. And RMA, rev marketing automation, can help that.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Sorry, Anne-Marie, go on.
Oh, sorry. I think also it's like it's very important to understand, like in the guest journey, they might visit your website a few times. As you say, yeah, they might not always book when they visit. But I also think that it takes them some time, especially the leisure guests, and they are in a different stage, I think, on the website depending on where in their customer journey they are. So they might be looking for different things, and I think it's also important to have like the right kind of information at that point, because mm-hmm. you know that they're coming back when you talk to them about the things that they want to know at that time.
Yeah,
I think it's a super really good point, Anne-Marie. I think a lot of times when I'm thinking about hoteliers and hotels as one category.
Yeah. Yeah.
But to follow on from Anna-Marie's point, I think luxury resorts, or let's say properties with a higher ticket value, like over 300, 400, 500 euros per night kind of thing. Yeah, of course, depending on the guest, they're going to shop around and make sure, because it's a higher, bigger investment. They want to get it right, mm-hmm. especially if it's a family holiday. You don't want to be the one who chose the property that looked good on the website, maybe, but was in reality was not great. So with those really shopping around, doing their research, which I think is more prevalent in these kind of properties, then of course the guest journey is a multi-visit journey. Mm-hmm. And then it makes sense to have a personalized message. Welcome back. We've saved your dates. You were checking for these dates. They're here, ready, in case you'd like to book. Or another message, which could be more around other benefits. In other words, it doesn't mean that the same message would appear to the guest each time if they're visiting you three times. Mm-hmm. You can create that journey and that that interaction in an automated way without having to sort of be treating this like everyone's the same.
Yeah,
and the person comes back after the third time is like, oh, I've got the same offer here. That then will become stale and not appropriate. So dynamic.
Well, then it just feels static again, doesn't it? It's like, here we go again. You're just repeating the same problem.
Yeah, exactly.
And sorry, Anne-Marie, go on.
No, I don't know. We haven't really talked about this, but then do you have like a notion on the amount of pop-ups that a guest can handle when they visit a website, and how quick it has to be? Because sometimes I see that I mean, I'm just trying to find where are they, and whoop, there comes a pop-up, book now, when they don't even know anything about me yet. And these kind of pop-ups, it can irritate me a little bit.
I think it's a really good point. So there's a couple of different comments there. Number one, I think the overwhelming real estate, whether they're on a mobile or they're on a desktop, the overwhelming amount of real estate, over 90-95%, needs to be the website content. Mm. Yeah. Now, if the pop-up was right in the middle, covering one of the key calls to action, or covering the menu, okay, fail. But being able to control bottom right, bottom left, top right, top left, they're usually the pieces of real estate that are best to display a discreet, but important type of notification. I think that's also appropriate. Now, specifically with user guest, we've got logic built in that after X number of notifications, but the guest is still visiting the website, still looking around and still returning, no more notifications will be displayed. Mm-hmm. Because obviously that's annoying, right? Yeah. If I've seen a notification and I've hit the little X to pop it away, to keep throwing it up there, That's a failure, right? So I think Anna-Marie's point is right. You need to have appropriate display real estate for these messages.
I think there's two points to that as well, listening to both of you, sitting back and just listening to you two talking through here, is that you've got the irritation of the number of pop-ups that come up. And I agree with you, Anne-Marie. It drives me bonkers. It's like, yeah, I've clicked off, I don't want it anymore. So I think having the logic, as you say, in user guest, that just says over a certain number of times don't show anymore, is one element that's great to know. You've got that fail safe or safeguard, so to speak. But I think to your point, Eric, as well, if every time I came back the messaging was slightly different, then I think I would probably be less irritated, because I feel I'm engaging for a reason, and that's being recognized. And I guess that leads, and that is maybe fed. And there was another question I was going to ask you guys, which is, there can be time differences between those visits. And obviously the hotel is a living and breathing and dynamic environment itself. So not only are you changing the message, but I guess you can then dynamically adapt and apply whatever your strategy that you are doing behind the scenes in the hotel based on real-time data. If I come back in 2 weeks' time, the messaging could be different, but potentially the offer could be slightly different as well, because what's gone on in the hotel would have changed in the time that I've taken to come back. Is that fair?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the real-time element which is probably most appropriate for guests interacting with your website multiple times over a series of dates, mm-hmm. is that they know a lot about your hotel, like I mentioned before, but they don't know how many rooms have already booked. Mm-hmm. They don't know if you've got 30% on the books or 95%. They don't know, and they don't need to know, but you do. And so having a revenue management strategy, which is based on real-time hotel availability, which says, okay, below 40%, between 1 and 7 days from today, if we're still below 40%, okay, that's what we call a low occupancy period. Equally, defining high occupancy. So anything over 80% today or tomorrow, that's not necessarily high occupancy for many hotels if they're averaging 90 for the month. But if I've got 80% occupancy already on the books from day 30 in advance, or let's say day 60, okay, that's high occupancy. So for a hotelier to be able to define, and these are just two examples,
yeah, yeah. But
for a hotelier to define, let's say, their revenue strategy parameters, then occupancy goes up and down. As you said, Trevor, in your example, the guest is returning after 2 weeks from their previous visit to the website, and now it's a different offer. Maybe it's a better offer because a group hotel had a group cancellation. Boom. Now the hotel is struggling to fill rooms. The guest doesn't know that, but the offer is probably better. And now they think, oh, this is good. I wonder if the more often I return to the website, the price keeps coming down. some people will think that way because they actually think the opposite on OTAs. Every time I go back to Google, now
it goes up. And Marie, do you just want? I saw you when Eric was talking there. You were nodding along when we were talking about adapting the strategies to suit and the different messaging and the different offering. I mean that falls very clearly into that area of revenue management. Are having this dynamic changing environment that they're responding to and adjusting to, but it isn't necessarily translating outwards towards a potential guest visiting the website.
No, I'm not at all, because I mean, you're talking about like the forecast, mm-hmm. you said also earlier, 90 days, we can have an accurate forecast. I think what we always say is the revenue manager that has the most accurate forecast also on long term, they win, because mm-hmm. in that case I can already, when you have a booking window that exceeds these 90 days, and for a lot of countries actually they do, I've now been looking at hotels in Bangkok because we want to go there in December,
mm-hmm. yeah.
And this hotel actually in Bangkok should know what the occupancy forecast is going to be in December, probably quite low because they still struggle.
Yeah.
But when we know that, we can have our strategies already in order also on the long term. And I think actually automation helps us there because, it's very difficult for me to forecast the longer lead times. But I can see that systems really, really, really are getting better at that. So the strategy that we have is much more intelligent. I think that's why I nodded so much.
Yeah.
but yes, it is also it is a fact, and we tend to forget that. I think we know exactly what we want. We know exactly what we need, but the guests don't know that. They have no idea about our forecasting.
I think that's the bit from a user understanding from the hotelier side what tech can do, and then always putting myself in the shoes of a traveler. It's like I know what is going on in the hotel if I look at a site today and then I come back in 2 weeks' time. I know things have changed. I know there will be periods when you want my booking more than another period when I might want it. So to not be able to pull that information and present what you want to achieve to me in an enticing way that might make me choose to stay because I am flexible just seems crazy to me that we have. And I think that's the bit, I think that's when you were saying, Anne-Marie, when we were talking offline a week or so ago about turning that intelligence into action. How do we take what we know internally, and how do we do something to present it externally so that we can achieve what we want at the same time as giving the guests maybe something better than they were originally going to get? I think that's where that automation piece and can bring, and that's where the rev marketing, the revenue and the knowledge coming through into how we're marketing that externally to the benefit of the guests and using automation to help them to drive the booking.
Yeah, you know, talking about this, actually, I mean, it's a logical thing that a hotel should not, a website should not be static, because I mean, you say, yeah, there's a guest, well, but then one guest has many different needs and different reasons to book this specific hotel. And I think, yeah, well, the automation, but I think especially the personalization which automation can give us can help us really drive direct.
No, that makes sense. Yeah. So, Eric, you were going to...
I think what we also need to be mindful of, and I'm sure you guys are going to agree with me here, is that we can look at the hotel website and think it needs to be pristine, personalized, dynamic, but not too dynamic, not repetitive, which I fully agree. And the notifications need to be fitting with your brand and appropriate. Okay. However, we should... Okay, agreed. What we also need to remember is that for any guest who has traveled by plane to your hotel and have dealt with either Ryanair or EasyJet, and the rest are the same, but those are the two that I'm more familiar with, and have booked their flight and have it say, luggage, no, yes, no, small, medium, large, carry on or not carry on, do you want a meal, do you want car insurance, do you want, like, to get, if you literally just want to book a flight on Ryanair or EasyJet, which are the two that I'm picking out right now, you've had to go through 8 more steps than you wanted to. And if you're really in a rush because you made it, there's booking at the last possible time, it's stressful. And so I'm talking about a booking experience where there's lots of hoops to jump through. And I get it. The airlines want me to maximize ancillary revenues. I get it. It's not a pleasant experience. I don't know whether you guys have shared that. We're talking about notifications in the guest interest. There's actually a benefit to here. There was a benefit there, right?
I think there's certainly more that hotels could be doing in terms of improving their booking program. What do you think to Eric's question, Anne-Marie? Because you're booking holidays as well, as you were saying, aren't you? So, I mean, you're going through it both from a business and from a leisure point of view.
Yeah, that's right. And I was actually thinking, yeah, I totally agree with the booking the flight being a nuisance. Now, I usually fly KLM because my usual flight is Stockholm, Amsterdam, and back again. Yeah. That goes really quite kind of fast. But yeah, I mean, if a lot of airlines or travel agencies is like, okay, do you want an insurance? Are you sure you don't want an insurance? But you also have
yeah,
an insurance.
Yeah, that is annoying.
They ask you anything but your shoe size, I think. And I was actually thinking when you were talking, like, okay, what does me, how do I choose my hotels and my flights? And in flights, I can really be flexible sometimes, and I can react to this kind of, okay, book one day before and you get a cheaper flight. And I usually check if I can and if I can save money there. So I think that actually is a very, very, very smart thing to do, and hotels could do the same. But it's also... I mean, I go through the nuisance of booking an airline and get irritated, but okay, I have to have a ticket. So, okay. and what makes me book a hotel? Well, it usually is, I can usually find them on the OTAs, but then I look at it and I look at the individual hotels, and it makes me... as a leisure guest, I spend some time and I look like, okay, what are they saying to me? As a corporate guest, it's like, okay, I have to be at that space. Where's the closest by? Yeah. It goes much faster.
Yeah.
So I'm a different person also, depending on when I book, or what I book, or what
you're booking for. Yeah. No, absolutely. Conscious of your guys' times, so I think we need to kind of start wrapping this up as well, because there has been a lot covered in here. One final question for you both. All these ideas sound great, and setting up and personalizing messaging and having something there. But I've got less staff. We all know about the staffing problem. I've got less time available to me. I guess one of the resistances I would expect is, yeah, but have I got time to do this? Just, you know, setting it up, getting it ready. It's just going to be too onerous. I really haven't got the capacity. How time consuming Am I wrong? I guess is the simple question. Can these things be done much more simply, or is there a bit of a reasonable time investment needed?
I think when it comes to technology and hotels, and I don't know if you recognize this, Eric, but I hear a lot of times like, okay, I don't have time, exactly to your point, Trevor. But also I don't have the money. So there's like two things that they need to understand in order to invest in good technology. And I always say like, okay, technology, it should either enhance your guest experience, save you time, save you money. And I think, or a combination of these. And if it doesn't do that, then yeah, it's a lousy investment. But there is a very high level of needing to convince them to buy the right technology and to dare to invest. And I think a good argument for them to hear is, okay, of course the benefits, but also how long does it take me to use this system? And I think that the time element is a very important thing for them to understand before buying. And Eric, that's your point, I think.
Yeah, it's such a good point. I've been speaking with friends and colleagues who are also in the hotel tech space, and specifically RNS, and then talking about, you know, it's only 2 or 3 hours of configuration to set it up. Even that, some hotels, when they've already bought the system and it's the first step of the project, they're pushing back saying, don't have time for that. And you know what? They may genuinely not have time, but it needs to be in context. Mm. Okay, what are you spending your time on, and what sort of value are you generating from that time? Yeah. Is it keying in reservations from all the different bookings from the OTAs? Okay, well, maybe that's an area you can automate, because you add value, you save costs, like Anna-Marie was just saying just now. And I think that for the setup, for example, for RMA, it's fortunately for the hotelier, it's 5 minutes and 5 minutes in terms of the actual scripts that apply on the website. And then the other moving pieces in terms of what we may or may not want to integrate with in terms of data points, that's variable because there are different companies involved. But I would say to a hotelier, imagine you've now got a new OTA, which is perfect for your hotel. It's producing the right, bringing the right kind of market to your city. So you're gonna sign up, 15% commission or 10%, whatever it might be, mm-hmm. and you're gonna load your content. Is that a difficult thing? No, we already have everything. Yeah, of course you do. That's the same thing with RMA. Yeah. You already have special offers. You already have all these benefits. You already have availability in the hotel PMS. It's just bringing it together and automating it.
Yeah.
And I think if hoteliers think about it like, oh, I'm just adding an important OTA, but guess what? It's your website. It's even better than OTA.
Well, I think that's the thing, because you have people coming to the website. So it's like, okay, like an OTA, you have people arriving at it. If you would sign up and pay your commission 15, 20%, well, to your point, Anne-Marie, about, well, I haven't got money to spend on it. If an OTA came up, they'd find the money to put their content on there if it was driving them bookings. So if you were, I think you said earlier, Eric, I don't know, what is it, like a conversion rate of people that visit your website to actually convert into bookings? Well, you've got a lot of people arriving. You know, if you can increase that conversion rate and you're not having to pay any commission for converting that, but maybe you look at, what was the technology tools that I've invested in to help me to increase that conversion? Well, does that work out at 15 to 20% of each booking? I would argue it could probably be significantly less than that. But if you don't look at it in that particular way, you're never going to draw a fair comparison, are you? And I think that's the reality. But also, that did answer the question about how much human involvement is. It's yes, there will always be some. No one can say it doesn't involve any involvement. But it isn't hours and hours and hours. And at the end of the day, if you would do it to gain more bookings through an OTA, why wouldn't you invest that same amount of time if you're converting people to more bookings that are already coming to your website anyhow? It just seems, it's just the way of thinking about it, rather than it being a time or a cost issue, it's more a mindset issue, I would I would proffer as an idea. But anyway, I think we need to kind of wrap this up. This has kind of gone longer than we expected to hold both of you guys, but it's been really interesting, which is why we've just let it flow. Hopefully it is also to anyone who's been listening or watching this. Any final comments or thoughts from your side, or are we all done?
No. I think thank you for sticking around. And hopefully with the magic of LinkedIn, we're all available and accessible to connect with and take discussions offline as you prefer.
Emery?
Same there. I think when you look at hoteliers, they have a long way to go to automation and to create good and dynamic websites. But I think also they came from quite a long way. From a few years back, everybody was asking for me, like, okay, do you know a cheap booking engine, because they are so expensive? And they are actually much, 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 much better now. And I think, I hope that it will be, well, progressing in the same speed.
I echo that. Super, thank you guys, really appreciate the time. I will let you go. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you
so much.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Eric and Anne-Marie for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.